It's good to see all of you here this morning. I say that honestly. I'm happy for all of you to be here. It is good to have Paul back with us. You haven't been with us that long, but it's still good to have you here and back. We missed you while you were gone working, but we miss Rick when he's gone working. But it's good to have every one of you here this morning. And I say that truly. I mean that sincerely. So when I ask you the question I'm going to ask all of you, I want you to have, when I ask this question, the context that I'm glad that you're all here. Okay? I'm not sure who, how this message will affect each of you, but probably a little differently for all of you. I want you to know that you all have an answer to the question that I'm about to ask. So what I'm going to ask you, every one of you has an answer to it. I know that for a fact, just because you're here this morning. Raise your hand if you're here this morning. Did you guys raise your hand? Yeah. Rowan, did you raise your hand? Okay, good. Ross raised his hand. Good. Everybody's here. Paul, did you raise your hand? I didn't. Okay. Everybody apart from Paul is here this morning, so that's good. The question I want to ask all of you is, why are you here this morning? You all agree that you're here, right? Why are you here this morning? Why am I here this morning? There are as many answers to that question as there are people here this morning, probably. Now, back in the days when I was teaching young men in Sunday school class, I would say, don't give me the Sunday school answer to this question, because all the boys in Sunday school knew the right answers to all the questions, and they knew what Mr. Weston was looking for an answer when I asked a question. I know that there's a Sunday school answer to the question of why are you here this morning. There's an answer in church that you are expected to give if I ask why you're here this morning, okay? And they're not bad answers. I'm not saying they were wrong answers even, but truly in your heart of hearts, why are you here this morning? Now, I'm standing here this morning because my name happened to be on a schedule and it said that I had to be responsible for preaching to you this morning. Otherwise, I would be down there. Okay, I'm willing to fill in this role for you and to do my best by the Holy Spirit to present the gospel to you and to present discipleship to you. So that's why I'm here this morning. I'm also here today because I'm a believer, and I believe that the New Testament teaches us that we should fellowship with one another as believers, okay? And again, I can't give you this morning all of the answers to this question. I didn't intend to touch on it in Sunday school, but in a big picture sense, why are we not out enjoying this beautiful day today? Why aren't we enjoying creation today? Because we have an eternal hope. If we're believers this morning, we have an eternal hope. There's a better day coming. We're not missing out on anything by being here instead of outside the church walls this morning. In fact, as a believer, if we're outside the walls this morning, we're missing out, aren't we? Do you agree with that? When I have to stay home for some reason, whether it's health-related for me or my kids, I'm missing out on something. When we pray for those that can't be with us on a Sunday morning, we're praying for them because they're missing out on something, right? When Beryl Smith is able to come join us in a service, why does she go to all the trouble of being with us in a service? Because it's not comfortable for her to be here. When Steve Goodine used to drive when he shouldn't be driving, at night in a snowstorm in January to be with us on a Sunday evening, why was he doing that? Because he felt like he was missing out. He would be missing out on something. Okay? So just to establish, I believe we should be here. If we're believers this morning and we want to fellowship with other believers as we're commanded to in the New Testament, then we ought to be in a church on Sunday morning, okay? But the reason I ask the question is because I'm truly curious at times. Do you know when I lead singing, I can watch all of your faces? You can watch mine too, I understand that. You can hear my voice worse than that. Amplified, which is bad. But I can watch all of you as well. I can see the demeanor. I can see what your face is a window to your soul a little bit, okay? Some of you sing. Some of you sing loudly. Some of you sing with a smile on your face. Some of you don't sing at all. Mike in? Sorry. I messed it up. But there's a lot that you can tell by watching folks worship together. So what I'm saying by that is I know that the answer to the question of why are you here this morning is different for every one of you. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to class you into groups. I'm going to do it very simply. Not a lot of different groups here, but there are different groups here, okay? The two groups that I'm first going to start with are there is a saved group of individuals here, and there is an unsaved group of individuals here. Can we agree on that? There's a saved group and an unsaved group of individuals here. Now, I'm going to start with the unsaved group of individuals. I can't know your heart this morning. I don't know what the answer to the question of why you are here this morning. If you're here this morning and you know that you're unsaved, we all raised our hands, so I know we admit you're here. There's a reason that you're here. There are a few possibilities that you might be here if you're unsaved. I also want to acknowledge that there may be some of us that think we're in one group and are in the other group. Saved and unsaved, okay? But I'm not going to get into that eternal security question this morning. That's not the point of this morning's message, but I acknowledge that you can be here and be saved and be worried that you're not. You can be here and be unsaved and think that you are. Both are far from ideal circumstances. If you're unsaved and you think that you are, that's a very dangerous circumstance. All I will say to you this morning is that we learn in 1 John 5:13 that you can know that you are saved. If you have any doubts about your salvation this morning, resolve them. Now you might say that I've tried. I can't come to a conclusion. You can know. The Bible teaches that you can know. I understand that every human being's circumstance is different from every other human being's circumstance, and that there are difficulties that may cause you to have doubts. But you can know. Get that resolved this morning. If you're unsure of which of those two categories you fall into, become sure. If you need help with that, then please talk to a mature believer, whether that's somebody that you know outside of this church, or us as deacons, or another member of our church that is mature and is secure in their salvation. Get that resolved. Find help. Apart from those that are unsure, there are a few possibilities that you're unsaved and you're here this morning, okay? The first possibility is that you are compelled to come, okay? In other words, maybe you aren't allowed to be home alone and everyone else is here, so you're here. You had to come. That's a possibility. Or I don't see anyone necessarily in this category this morning, but maybe somebody brought you to church, invited you to church, and you came with them, and maybe it wasn't the top of your list, but you came anyway. You were compelled to come. Or invited, compelled or invited, forced or invited. Maybe the kids, some of the kids are in that group. Some visitors tend to be in that group. But if you are compelled to come, I want you to know that the believers, the saved portion of this group, we are operating under the Great Commission. What does the Great Commission tell us to do as believers? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples. Let's go there. Matthew 28. And I realize I was just quoting from the other recording of this. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If you're here this morning and you are compelled to be here, then a believer in your life is operating under the commandment of the Great Commission. We're to go as believers and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Part of the outcome of that Great Commission and obedience to it is that we may ask you to be with us here this morning, amongst other believers, for the purpose of your salvation. If you're unsaved and you've been asked by a believer to be here, they care about your soul, okay? They desire that you would hear something that would soften your heart to the truth of the gospel if you're compelled to be here this morning. It's possible that you are here as an unbeliever and you're seeking the truth. That's a great reason to be here as an unsaved individual this morning, to seek the truth. I don't speak the truth, but I speak God's word. God's word is truth. This is our foundation this morning at this church. We believe that we hold in our hands God's word revealed to us and preserved for us by Him. And we have the answers. We hold the answers if you're seeking truth. However, I would say to you, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, to get that settled. If you're seeking the truth, we have the truth. You can have the truth. Just as I would say to those that are unsure of their salvation, if you're here this morning and you say that you're not sure that you have found the truth yet, well, we have it. We have a copy of the truth that we can give to you, that you can take with you, and that you can study and know the truth just as well as we do, by the revealing of the Holy Spirit working in you. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, Paul writes, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Don't put off your search for truth any longer. It's here. The world will send you in all sorts of different directions seeking truth, to find yourself, maybe. That's a lie. The truth is in God's word. The truth about you is in God's word. Today is the day of salvation. The verse in 2 Corinthians 6:2 is implying that there is a time, there is time, a limited amount of time. There is urgency for you to make a decision to accept the truth. I encourage you today, if that's you, accept the truth of the gospel. And we will get into that message a bit more here. You may be here this morning as an unsaved person, and you're here because you feel guilt for your sins. You know that something's wrong in you. That's an excellent reason as well to be here. Romans 6:23 tells us that, what are the wages of sin? Death. If you are here and you feel guilty and you feel that you are in the wrong this morning, that you're at odds with the creator of the universe, you're correct. You are correct. And it's important that you understand the gravity of that situation, because the wages of your sins are death. The consequence of your sin is going to be death if you don't find a solution to that guilt and to that shame. So if you feel guilty for your sins, and that's the reason that you've come this morning, then you should feel guilty for your sins. What's the second half of the verse, though? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a bad news, good news kind of verse. Bad news is, if you're a sinner, which you all started out as, whether you're saved or not right now, the wages of sin is death. That's what you were owed. But God gave a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is a gift? If I give you a gift, does it mean anything to you unless you receive it? I went and I bought the gift, I brought the gift, I wrapped the gift, and I present it to you. Is that gift meaningful even though I've done all the work to get that gift to you? Does it mean anything unless you accept it? It does not. That's why the Bible is using that terminology. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's all the work is done for you, but you have to accept the gift. So there is something for you to do today if you are unsaved and you're guilty of your sins. You feel the weight of your sins on you. Don't stop there with the guilt. It's a great spot to be. It is an unsaved person to feel the weight of your sin, but only because there's a solution in the gift that Jesus Christ offers. There's another possibility for an unsaved person that's here this morning and answering why you are here. There's a multitude of possibilities. These are the ones I had time to write down and think of an answer for, maybe. So I acknowledge that. But another possibility is that you enjoy the fellowship and the love of the people here. And I will say once again, it's an excellent reason to come and to be here, is because you enjoy our fellowship and our love. Maybe you enjoy Baptist food. It's another possibility. It goes along with the fellowship and the love thing, okay? I'm glad for anyone that's here because you feel the love of God coming from us. Our desire is that you would feel that coming from us. We do love you, but more than wanting you to be comfortable in our midst out of fellowship and love, we want you to be very uncomfortable with your unsaved soul, okay? Don't mistake our fellowship and our love for you with eternal comfort, the eternal comfort of having your sins forgiven. We don't love you this morning just because you're here and you're unsaved. We love your soul. We want you to understand that church is not about coming and singing three hymns, reading a passage of Scripture, listening to me, and having a meal afterwards, or shaking my hand, or fill in the blank with something that we do on a regular basis. It's not what church is all about, okay? Church is about fellowship, and church is about love, but it's about the fellowship and the love of the saved individuals that are in it. You cannot, this morning, truly fellowship with us unless you are a believer. You can't take advantage of all the fellowship that you should have with God's people if you're not one of God's people. In fact, this morning is Communion Sunday. We are all going to remember together, in the way that the Lord prescribed, the fact that Jesus shed his blood and gave his body for us, for our sins. He sacrificed himself for us. We are going to enjoy the communion together of remembering Jesus' sacrifice for us. And if you're unsaved, you cannot partake in that. You should not partake in that. The Bible gives serious warnings, which we've gone through before, for those that partake unworthily. One way to partake unworthily is to be unsaved and to partake. I think I gave you the example before of that's like the murderer showing up to the funeral of the person they murdered. Okay? Your sins are one of the reasons that Jesus died on the cross. It's very hard to sincerely remember and honor the memory of what Christ did for you if you've not accepted his gift of salvation. You're a cause of his death. You can't remember what he's done for you sincerely unless you've accepted his gift. So I would warn you. Do you understand why it's important for you to understand that I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad every one of you is here this morning. But if you're here simply because you enjoy our fellowship in this congregation and the love that we have for you, get that salvation problem fixed. We do not. The worst thing in the world, for my opinion, would be for an unsaved person to comfortably sit in a pew at this church for all their lives and to never make a decision for Christ. That would be a tragedy. Also, you will be held more responsible for having heard the truth and not responded to it. Okay? This bothers me as an individual that's been in church for a lot of years. Do you know how many messages I have sat through? I talked to you before about how many communion services I'd been through, and I added that up just at this church. It's a lot. It's a lot of services that I've been to. I've heard a lot of teaching. I've heard a lot of preaching. Where much is given, much is required, right? I've heard a lot of truth. How much of it am I obeying this morning? How much of it are you obeying this morning? So if you're unsaved, please be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you're at a sticking point in that decision-making process, please get unstuck from it. Make a decision. We want you here. We want you to hear more truth. We want to preach the truth to you, and we want to preach it to you lovingly and graciously, but we do not want to preach it to you in such a way that makes you comfortable with where you're at in your unsaved state. You're headed for an eternity without Christ, an eternity of death and of suffering, if you're unsaved, no matter how comfortable you are here in our midst. Does that make sense for everyone? I don't know all your hearts. I don't know if there are any unsaved this morning, but I want to cover that class of people in answering the question, why are you here this morning? Okay? Maybe other reasons that unsaved people are here, but I'm going to shift now. Are the unsaved people all uncomfortable now? Raise your hand. No, I'm kidding. I'm only half kidding, because I want you to be. I want you to squirm if you're unsaved this morning for your own, for the good of your own soul. Join us in the family of God and in full fellowship with us this morning. Okay? For the saved of us this morning, why are you here? Why are you here this morning if you're saved? I already told you why I'm here, because I was scheduled to be here. No, I'm half kidding. I'm in the pulpit because I was scheduled to be in the pulpit. But why am I here this morning? Why am I not out there? I have a hope of heaven. We already covered that. There are a lot of good reasons for a believer to be in a church this morning. The best Sunday school answers would be love for God and love for his people. You're here to worship God because there's a group of believers that are gathered together to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So there's an assembly of believers here this morning, and we're part of it. So we're not going to forsake that assembling of ourselves. We're here to obey that command. Maybe as a believer, you're here this morning because you desire to serve others, and that's an outstanding reason to come to church, to serve others. All of us ought to have a heart of service when we come on Sunday morning. Maybe you're a believer and you're here because your parents told you to be here. I know that my kids didn't have any other options this morning. That's becoming different as they learn to drive and can do things on their own, which I love and hate at the same time. But my kids are here this morning because they're obeying their parents. Maybe there's other reasons. I'm not saying that's the only reason. I'm not going to answer that question for them. But that's a possibility. What is that? That's a subcategory. Obedience to parents is a subcategory of duty. Are you here this morning as a believer because you're doing your duty? I have to confess there are times in my life when I've come to church because I just knew that it was the right thing to do, and there wasn't a lot of desire behind that. Have any of you ever been there this morning? I have. I'm not going to put that in a category of wrong reasons to come to church. Sometimes we need to do things that are our duty, right? Paul, working for 3 weeks in Alaska, did you get the night shift? Day shift, good for you. But did you go because that's where you wanted to be in the world for the last 3 weeks? Did you go because you were called to a duty? You've made a commitment, haven't you? You've made a commitment to help in times of need, and you were called upon. Somebody knows you made a commitment, and they said, you need to be here to help these people. We do that out of duty. That's not bad. It's not bad. But it shouldn't be our only motivation. Maybe it's habit. I know for me, Sunday, it is a habit. It's a habit to get up at a certain time, to do a certain thing devotionally, to eat certain food. And I am a creature of habit, so I'm part of why I come to church is it's a good habit. There are good habits and bad habits. This is a good habit to come here. But it can't be the only reason. There are bad reasons for believers to come to church, or wrong motives, I would say. In the idea of wheat and chaff, what's going to happen? Not wheat and chaff. I'm sorry. Our good deeds that we do here as believers, some of them are for correct motivations and some of them are for incorrect motivations, right? What is all the good that we do? What's going to happen to all the good that we do at the judgment seat that is done for wrong reasons? It's going to burn. What does that mean? It means it's meaningless. All the good that we do with wrong motivation is meaningless. All the good that we do with correct motivation is treasure, isn't it? Some bad reasons that we may come to church as believers is for show. Maybe I'm dressed the way I am just because I want you to know that I have good clothes. I am a little better than you because I wore a jacket and a tie this morning, right? Billy, you didn't wear a tie, so I'm a little bit better than you this morning, right? But no, people think that way. I don't think that way. But that's a human nature thing for us as believers sometimes to think. That's a wrong motivation. Maybe I want to show my neighbors that I'm better than them because I'm coming to church on Sunday morning while they're enjoying outdoors. Worse than these reasons, maybe I'm here because I think I'm maintaining my salvation by coming to church. That this act of coming to church is something I have to do if I want to maintain my salvation. I don't believe any of you here this morning are in that camp, but that's a terrible motivation to come to church. That's a works salvation kind of attitude. If you're here and you're saved this morning, I don't know what your answer is for why you're here. I myself have a number of reasons that I am here. And I believe that there are a lot of good reasons as I search my heart. I knew I was going to teach this morning too, so I had to make sure my motivations were pure before I stood up here and said this to you. I had a chance. I had a head start on answering this question myself, why I'm here. But why are we here? Why do I want you to be here? If you're saved, why should you be here this morning? I want you to be here this morning because you're obeying. How does the world know that we are God's children? John 13:35. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I want you to obey that command if you're a believer here this morning. I want you to love one another. I want you to be here out of love for one another. Loving one another, Jesus says right here, what's an evidence to the world around us that we're God's children, that we're disciples of Christ, by our love for one another. When we bicker with one another, when we fight with one another, when we have arguments with one another, and the world knows about that, what does the world think? They're no different from my club that I'm a part of. They're no different from the organizations that I work in the world. But the world ought to know that we love one another. Obey that command if you're a believer here this morning. John 4:23-24, back a few chapters. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And he says this to her in verses 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're a believer here this morning, worship God in spirit and in truth. God seeks those to worship him that do so in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? Those are not just flowery words. It means to be sincere in your worship of God. No matter what the reason is that you're here this morning, be sincere in desiring to worship God. And what does it mean to have your spirit worshiping him? It means at the heart level, worship him in spirit and in truth as a believer this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, we mentioned in Sunday school this morning, I brought it up at the beginning of the service, one of the reasons that we are here this morning is because we have an eternal hope. The Apostle Paul says in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 15, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Our attendance here this morning is meaningless if we don't have a future hope in Christ to look to. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then there is no resurrection of the dead, and we have no hope in no eternity. That is, thank the Lord, not the case. Christ did rise from the dead. We do have a hope in eternity, and we can come here this morning having that hope. But I want you to look. We've done this before, but I want to look at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. With all of the hope that is mentioned here, we have the verses, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What are we supposed to do with that truth that we have hope in a resurrection, that we have a victory in the Lord Jesus Christ? What are we to do this morning as saved people attending here? Verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What are we to do this morning with that hope that we came to church with? We're to be solid in our beliefs. We're to be steadfast in our lives. We're to always abound in the work of the Lord. Part of what you're doing here this morning is the work of the Lord. It's not the only work that you should be doing, but part of the reason you're here is it's part of abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're here and you don't feel like being here, even if you're saved, it's not in vain that you're here this morning. Your labor is not in vain. The things that we do for correct motivation are not in vain in the Lord. But our hope in Christ should result in abundant work for the Lord and in the Lord. Not in your own power, not in my own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit. He will give you something to do and give you the power to do it. And it's your job to obey and to follow that leading. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. And I want you to know as well, I'm going through a number of things that are like commandments for New Testament believers in our scriptures. There are many more than what I'm looking at this morning, so I'm just hitting some high points on what I expect us to be as believing attendees to our services. 1 Thessalonians 5 is full of things for us to do here, verses 14 through 28. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. How are you doing in all of that passage? There's a lot there for us to follow and to obey. There's a lot for me to follow and obey, and I'm not good at all of them all the time, for sure. But that's just one example of a list to obey. Philippians, book of Philippians, chapter 2. You're all familiar with this small set of commandments, which speaks to our heart attitude once again. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Once again, love one another. Put others above yourself. Don't be so focused on your own needs or shortcomings that you can't serve others in their needs. I guess my desire for all of you that are here attending and are saved is to obey what we know to be true. There's not enough time, as I said this morning, to go through all of the things that we should obey, but I have said it before. I know for myself, there's a lot of things that I am very, very clear about that I don't struggle with, that I need to do better at obeying. There are a lot of commands that I don't obey for whatever reason. No good excuses, but we need to obey. There's one more thing I want to mention, one more group that I want to split out. So I said there's a saved group and an unsaved group. Amongst the saved group, there are saved members and there are saved non-members or just attendees. And once again, we're glad for all of you to be here. We praise the Lord that all of you are here. And that's saved and unsaved, by the way. Amongst the saved group, some are members and some are non-members. Now, that is not necessarily a biblical designation, okay? But in order to do things decently and in order in this New Testament age, we have a membership process. What does it mean? Well, I want to read for you quickly our covenant, our church covenant. Our church covenant is at the end of our statement of faith. It is at the end of the explanation of why we believe what we believe doctrinally here. And our church covenant is something that every member has read before. I can say that confidently. But it's also good for us as members to remember this from time to time. So if you're a member in our church, there is an additional level of responsibility beyond just being a saved attendee to our church. Okay? I want to read this for you to bring to your memory what we expect for you when you're here. Okay? I'll read that now. It says, having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of our Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we do now, in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. What's another word for covenant before I go further? Promise? It's a promise that you're going to keep. You're covenanting with us as a member. We talk sometimes about a marriage covenant. The marriage promise. That's another very serious commitment that we make in our lives. Church membership is serious. We desire you to see it that way. Continues. It says, we purpose, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, so we're not doing this in our own strength as members, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to give it a sacred preeminence over all institutions of human origin, and to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. Because it is the responsibility of every member to contribute to the maintenance of the doctrinal purity and unity of the congregation, as God's children of light, we purpose to walk wisely in the world, in all the matters of our world, and in the issues of life, and as much as possible to separate from all ungodly and spiritually unprofitable practices, to submit ourselves to the Lord of the conscience. We purpose to abstain from all forms of activity which dishonor our Lord Jesus Christ, cause stumbling to a fellow believer, or harm our testimony before the lost world. We purpose to maintain a devotional life, to educate our children in the eternal truths of biblical Christianity, to seek the salvation of our relatives, acquaintances, and all others, to avoid all gossiping, backbiting, and excessive anger, to be just in our dealings, faithful to our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior, always bearing in mind the exhortations of God's word to, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We further purpose to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy of speech, to be slow to take offense but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior, and to secure reconciliation without delay. We moreover purpose that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. It had been a while since I had read through the covenant, and it's a good reminder for us. There's no references given there other than the quotes specifically concerning whether we're eating or drinking or whatsoever we do all to the glory of God. But I believe that does summarize what we should commit to one another this morning as believers in this church. I read through that and I find deficiencies in my own life and membership here. If you do the same, please confess those deficiencies and desire to meet them as a covenant member here. But again, I'm glad all of you are here. I don't know what your answer is to the question of why you're here. I'll repeat again, if you're unsaved here this morning and you know it, get that figured out. That sounds like a flippant way to say that. Make that decision. The consequences of that decision are eternal. There is a real heaven, there is a real hell, and there is a real Savior who sacrificed himself so that you could enjoy in eternity with him, so that you could be free from the power of sin here and the presence of sin for all of eternity. And we're going to remember that now. If you are unsaved, then please, I implore you not to partake of the bread and the juice as we remember Christ's sacrifice for us. If you are saved, please examine yourselves and answer that question while you're here. Check your motives. Check your heart attitude. I desire us to grow together and to be an effective body for the Lord's work in this community and in the communities we come from. And I don't think we can do it if we're here for the wrong reasons. So answer that question and respond. If something needs to be changed, then change it now. I'll close in prayer and then I'll ask Paul to come for communion. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our place of worship, the comfort that you have blessed us with, and the beauty of the facility, Lord, and the property. All of those things are a blessing to us, Lord. But I pray that you would help us to be here for spiritual reasons. Lord, I don't know how everyone would answer the question of why they're here, Lord. I know that I don't always have good answers to that question, Lord. please adjust our priorities. I pray, Lord, that we would exalt you in our lives and that your desires would be made ours. Please make our motives pure. Lord, we thank you for this time of remembrance to come. I pray that you would prick the heart of any unsaved individual here, Lord, to, first of all, not to partake in this serious observance, Lord, but also to correct the status of unbelief in you, Lord. I pray that you would make all that are unsaved uncomfortable this morning. I pray that you would put the weight of eternity on their hearts and on their minds, and that you would draw them to yourself. I pray that there would not be hardened hearts, but there would be softened hearts this morning, Lord. In your name, amen.